Chapter 31, A Night to Remember.
Hello, and welcome to Cry Me Riverdale, your favorite Riverdale podcast hosted by two men who are unmarried in their 30s. I am your...
Let's just marry each other. Let's just get it over with. I'm 36, John. I turned 36 3 years ago. It's crazy.
I am your groom number one, John Reisinger, and joining me is groom number two, Mikey Newman.
Groom number two forever. It was actually in my high school yearbook. Forever groom.
You can't say stuff like that when I'm about to take a drink of water.
It's exactly why I said it. That's what gives us such good chemistry.
Oh, man. I can't quit you, and I can't quit Riverdale. And so,
oh, my God. As much as Riverdale can just go nuts, I'm there for it.
Yeah.
Man, did they ever go for it on this one.
This was a wild mixture of multiple genres and styles, and they're really like trying some weird stuff out in this episode. Some of it worked, some of it, I'm gonna say, worked less. But the big plot moments that they were pushing this episode, I was a big fan of. So as far as story goes, I liked it.
Sorry, I was checking my mic.
No worries.
I can't hear my, can you still hear me?
I can hear you. You know?
Weird. That's fine. I don't care. As long as you can hear me.
Yep.
So previously on Riverdale happens. And
everything.
Then, so like they bring up like 15 plot points and you're like, oh, of course. It's like the Buffy musical. We're gonna bring a lot of plot points together, and boy, do they.
Yeah. So we start off with Kevin asking Jughead to be the BTS cameraman for the making of the Carrie musical,
right.
Which was their way of giving Jughead something to do this episode.
It so like I have some, let's call them legal concerns with someone who's just like, because Jughead films everything, and they're just like, we just want some behind the scenes footage of Carrie the musical, and he's like, I'm doing a behind the scenes expose. I'm gonna call out all the corruption. Like he goes straight for the Pulitzer, you know.
He doesn't know how to turn it off just for like theater.
Yeah, it's almost like Hot Fuzz, like in that scene where Danny turns to Nicholas and he's like, you don't know how to turn off. It's that.
It is that. But I will say that the show, unlike the last episode we watched where we were able to berate the writer over the mistake she made, Shirtless Archie.
That sounds like our trip with Britta, who we love and want back on the show as soon as possible.
Yeah. I love Britta, but I had one problem with her episode, which is that she didn't write Archie to take his shirt off. However, this episode, we get 5 seconds
to
in.
Archie was like, what was it, 30 seconds?
Yeah,
even?
He's doing push-ups. He's doing the one-hand push-ups to turn the page. It was good. It was nice. I liked it. The show started off on a good note. And then began the music.
And a lot of music in this musical.
A lot
episode.
Of music.
And I wasn't familiar because I didn't even know Carrie the musical was a thing. I do now know it's a thing.
Everything
they're
is
doing
a musical.
The music from that.
Everything that's, is a musical.
That's probably true.
Yeah, it's a musical since quite a while, like 1980s.
Really? Did not know that.
So, yes. So they start singing. And there's not really much happening to singing at this point. So then we go to a moment where Fred tells Archie that he's going to help with the construction for the musical. And kind of alludes to like Fred's trying to reconnect with his son and everything like that. And then Archie is hiding his car. He's got his car down the street. And so he's continuing to make those kind of questionable choices with his father.
Archie kind of blows him off. Like, they have a moment of actual understanding. Fred's like, I'm going to build the sets for this with my construction company. That's a move. And he's like, hey, let me drive you to school. We'll talk about it. And Archie's like, nah, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to blow you off and be Archie.
Definitely puts a wall in the way of Fred kind of trying to be a good dad. I guess I put down a note here. Kevin can sing. Kevin didn't sing very much in this episode. When he did, boy's got some pipes.
Seems like everybody's got pipes in real life, except for maybe Ethel and Alice seem like the only...
There were some times, not to throw
Everyone's so auto-tuned, who can tell?
Yeah, there was like, there's a lot of like subtle auto-tuning. This was like
Glee-level auto-tuning.
Yeah. But Kevin, there's a few people in the cast who had the most musical theatrical type voices. Some people were like very poppy voices trying to sound musical theater. Kevin had some pipes. We do some choreography into the very first rehearsal where everyone introduces themselves and what their role is. And Cheryl is Carrie. And Josie is not happy about it. I think mostly because one, someone says something about tone deaf. So they think that Cheryl can't sing. And two, Josie is still mad about Cheryl pseudo stalking her and sending her a pig's heart and all that fun stuff.
And at this moment, we learn that Carrie's mom will be played by Alice Cooper.
Yeah.
Casting actual parents in High School Musicals. That's a move.
I guess. I don't know if, like, I never seen it happen in my high school, but I guess you could totally do it. And Kevin
made a move.
Yeah, it is. Chuck is also in the musical, and he has a little aside with Jughead's BTS stuff that he's trying to reform his image. And his delivery of this is sincerity. It's a sincere delivery, and it actually won me over because I'm like, okay, he's a high schooler, and if he saw the error of his ways and wants to change it, you should give someone like that the opportunity to reform if they so genuinely want to.
I thought it was very interesting that he acknowledged and noticed that I'm trying to rehabilitate my image by playing the villain.
Yeah.
In Carrie the Man. And I was just like, well, okay.
Yeah.
I'll give you a shot. What's up, Chuck?
Yeah. So then we also find out that Betty is still very, very upset with Ronnie and has this kind of aside with Archie and can't see really why Archie doesn't think that Archie should be staying with Ronnie and keep defending her, but sees why he does because he's very much like the character he plays in the musical, which is just, what are you calling it? Stays with his people to a fault. Loyal to a fault.
Which I very much enjoy, finally, that Archie, he's becoming reflective of his own actions in a way that I think... Well, we'll talk about it in a bit, but he kind of has some epiphanies in this episode that are very important to him and his character.
Mm-hmm.
So Betty kind of goes after Ronnie here, like hard, like straight, tearing her up for being a spoiled little rich girl who's only out for herself. Her parents are rogue, evil, bad people. And Ronnie's, you know... It's hard to defend the points because they're not untrue.
Cheryl then takes this as an opportunity to prove that she is not tone deaf and breaks into a crazy solo song.
Yeah,
that was a thing.
That was the moment where I was like, "Oh, it's that kind of episode." Yeah. Okay,
then,
like at any moment, music could come in the background and we could see. No, that's not this episode. I thought it maybe it was. I don't. They all do it.
That's my entire life. I just break into song anytime I want.
People always tell me to stop. Like Panera Bread is like, dog, stop coming in here and just, being like, I'll have the roast beef. They're not about that.
Mikey's face is up on their wall now. Do not serve bread to this man.
Do not beef this boy.
That's a whole another reason. So then a sandbag falls and almost kills Cheryl.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. That was the thing. So it is murder mystery musical kind of feeling.
Yeah.
Kind of brought me back to those Halloween episodes of Family Matters.
Yeah.
Where like it's not canon, but it is. Because I'm not really sure where we're... I'm guessing this is canon, but it does have that kind of... Anyone could die.
Yeah. It felt almost like a whodunit within a whodunit show. Like Riverdale is a whodunit thing, and this was like a micro whodunit inside of it.
And just so we can drop this on there, like the Hitchcocks we are, one of the kids will be dead by the end of this episode, and I'm not going to tell you who. Because we want you to listen all the way to the end for our sponsors we don't have. I guess that doesn't...
Still waiting on that call from Chili's.
Chili's!
Hey, sir! I ate at Chili's this last week. I took a British person there.
All right, so Fwish Riverdale, there's a murderer. Kevin got to let her go.
Kevin gets a ransom note. It claims that Cheryl should not be Carrie and that they need to take her off the play and that it's the Black Hood. But Kevin doesn't think so, doesn't think it's actually the Black Hood, thinks it's someone who's a copycat trying to use that persona to garner, you know, weight behind their request to get Cheryl off of being Carrie, which someone else might want, just Cheryl not to be Carrie.
Hey, Kevin, quick note. You're the son of the sheriff, and you received a I'm going to murder note, and you did not bring it to your dad twice. Just giving him some quick advice just to Kevin there.
Two opportunities.
Two times.
One of which was directly staking claim to the sandbag and said, yes, I, in fact, will do something if you don't take her off.
So Black Hood is finally mentioned as possibly being alive. Our show is validated. We did it. We knew it wasn't. He wasn't gone.
Betty and Archie.
Grats us.
Betty and Archie plus Ronnie and Chuck have a little song after this one. And I wrote down, everyone looks good in these clothes.
Yeah.
and I would say of the songs of the episode, this is the one I enjoyed the most. It near the end, their little harmonies and music was pretty good. And I like the energy in this song. But this is just them all doing their roles of Archie and Betty are boyfriend and girlfriend in the play, and Ronnie and Chuck are boyfriend and girlfriend. End of that scene.
We're going to get to the Ronnie Chuck thing in a second because
something,
hey, there's some things here.
Yeah. Riverdale is like use the whole Buffalo kind of show. And so every time anything is insinuated, you're like, that's coming back.
I like that the kids are up on forgiveness and they want to, but like Ronnie Chuck specifically, I was like, what?
Am I seeing this?
Yeah. So Archie and Ronnie are kissing in the hallway and Archie's like, hey, can I stash my car at your place? Because I haven't told my dad that your dad gave me a car.
And we know that he can keep this going in perpetuity. There's no problem here. He can hide a car for forever and there's no way his dad will ever find out. So this is a good solution,
Archie,
to this
definitely
problem.
Definitely don't deal with your problem.
Definitely procrastinate on the fight between your two dads. Just procrastinate it.
My two dads. So the Scoobies now have a hold of the letter and they're like, we're the crime fighters. We're gonna do it. Still don't take it to law enforcement.
Right before Jughead and Betty start doing stuff and sharing it around, Hiram and Hermione do have a little moment where they talk about how it's in their best interest to keep Fred on the ropes, and that's basically all they're going to do this entire episode is keep Fred juggling emotions. Then Jughead shares the ransom note to Betty, and Betty brings up that, because Jughead refers to the killer as like a guy, and she's like, it might not be a guy, not the killer, but the ransom note person.
Yeah.
And so then she's like, could be a girl, and they go to the first girl they can think of that would have a vendetta against Cheryl being Carrie, and that's Ethel.
The thing that was, because we're not short on crimes in the Riverdale Children's Factory. High school is the word, not children's factory. Okay, well, I guess. But like they try to entrap Ethel.
Yeah.
Like, but Jughead is just standing on the other side of a window holding the camera.
Yeah.
Just filming the whole thing. And I'm like, well, is Ethel mic'd? Because that's not how anything works.
Yeah.
But it's like so obvious. I'm like, Betty, Jughead, get better plans, guys. Like,
I just wrote down Jughead is worst secret filmer ever. And that goes.
It's not close.
Yeah. They try to entrap Ethel and she doesn't fall for it.
No.
So then we go to Pops, where Alice is trying to schmooze it up with FP, and she's calling him all cutie, and she's flirting, and she's using all of her feminine wiles, and FP is giving her nothing.
Yeah, he's blowing her off. Like, he's not... That scene injured me.
It did.
Like, it's Alice... Man, for someone that I was just not on her team ever and was dunking on her all the time, like, I love Alice now. She's yes. so... She's so much more human than everybody.
Yes.
Multidimensional.
And FP doesn't want to do the boyfriend-girlfriend thing right now.
Yeah. And so Alice goes, fine, and basically leaves. And we're all sad. But then we go to... the gym again, where not yeah. the gym. No, Josie is the gym teacher to Cheryl's Carrie, and they have to do a song. And Cheryl, Carrie's supposed to be the only friend that Carrie's got in the play. And so Josie starts singing, but Cheryl stops her because it feels very disingenuous to have this song while they still have beef. So she kind of does a pretty good job of explaining maybe at least the reasons why she did what she did. Considering the very tumultuous emotions she was and conflicting feelings she was dealing with at the time. And then I will point this out, jumps into one of the worst moments of lip syncing history when she jumps into the song at the end of her apology. I think that was my biggest complaint about this episode, was that even when there were like good musical moments, there was some bad lip syncing, and I'm a big stickler for lip syncing because I'm a huge proponent for musical theater and musical theater film. And so bad lip syncing can ruin that experience. And there was a few moments where I was like, oh, that sucks.
Eh.
And so this was one of those moments, and because she like mid apologies belts out this huge note right in Josie's face, but Josie rolls with it and they make up. And so they're good friends again.
Yeah, they squashed their beef with song, and I'm into that.
Always squash your beef with song.
If only so many other musical people had squashed their beefs.
Yeah.
In song.
That's all you got to do is just break out in music.
Do it.
We go to
the lodges.
Yeah. Hiram notices the Firebird is hanging out at the Pembroke, which gives him a dastardly idea, and he twirls his mustache and puts his fingers together in a very evil way.
Yeah. Hiram has gone full big bad for the season.
Full villain.
Cut to back at practice. Veronica has a big song.
Yeah. I also wrote down she had one of the better musical theater voices, and she carried the song pretty well.
Yeah, she's got pipes for miles.
And she can move pretty well around the stage, and so I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah, so part of that, though, is that she starts...
Strip
like, TV. Shit is way too sexy for a high school musical. I mean, she is literally giving Chuck a lap dance, and she ends up bending over and kind of trying to impress him, but she's, like, clearly, like, it is insinuated from the program that she wants to impress Chuck
yeah.
in a sexual way.
Yeah.
And I was like, huh, okay, like...
Yeah, and... they don't really resolve it in this episode, but you know it's going to come up later. And so I'm curious how that's going to work out between Archie and Ronnie.
Chuck is super hot. He apologized for all the horrible stuff he did to women. Like, he's atoning. So I'm like, go for it, I guess.
Betty then had seriously calls out Ronnie at this point for typecasting, calls her a spoiled rich girl with daddy issues who's bad. And really, like, throws every knife she could find at her.
Yeah. Scraping them off the walls,
yeah.
you know.
Fashioning new ones from pieces of trash near her just to throw
yeah,
more knives.
She was sharpening that like, dowel from a puppet. It was so strange how many knives she had.
Seemed
she had
excessive.
All the knives.
And then she threw the knife she was carving things with. So then... Archie,
she threw the carver. It was crazy.
Archie then talks with her afterwards and does a surprisingly good attempt at trying to get Betty to understand where Ronnie is at least coming from with these right. choices she's made.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good Archie moment. Pretty good Archie boyfriend moment.
Archie decides in this episode to crawl out of the pit that he has created for himself, and I do enjoy it.
He took account of like, oh,
his big moment's coming up in a bit.
I'm at the bottom of a well. I shouldn't be here.
Betty and Archie, we move back to a practice.
They have a little love ballad,
but they're beefing, so they're kind of not into it.
But then in the ballad, Betty makes up with Ronnie.
Right,
And so another beef is squashed through the power of song.
Beef squashing the musical. We're here for it.
beef squashing the musical. Just doesn't roll off the tongue as well as Carrie the musical, but...
Agree to disagree. So we go to Fred working on the sets in the school garage or whatever.
And Hiram shows up just to compliment how good his construction Hiram is.
He walks in and I'm like, oof, oof, oof.
He doesn't do anything bad. He just says, you know, these sets are looking really nice and I want to congratulate you and I'll see you later.
Before he goes though, he does sort of bring up the car.
Hey Archie, take Dad in a ride in the sweet car that I gave you. Me, Hiram, the villain and enemy of your father and rival father figure to you. Did you give him a ride in that car?
Hiram basically walks in holding a bomb going, is this your bomb? Is this your bomb? I'm going to leave this here. I'm going to leave this bomb here. I'm going to go. Because he walks in and is like, hey, nice car that I bought you. Bye. And then Fred, oof, I've never hurt so much.
Oh, Hiram has a wonderfully vile line as he leaves where he says a young man never forgets his first car because he knows he just stole a unique moment in this other man's child's life. And he just grinds that in there. And Fred Dad is sad dad and then also talks about how he wished that this moment could have gone with his son about the whole like getting a junker and fixing it up. And really... It says the right words to really knock some sense into that big old muscly skull of Archie.
Yeah. Fred just packs up his tools and leaves.
He does.
He just gets in his car and he's like, well, bye. I guess if you're not going to be nice, I'm not going to be nice. So bye.
So Fred Dad is sad. And then Alice Mom is sad and leaves a sad voicemail with Chick.
Yeah.
Who is not returning her calls.
Chick, still Chick. We'll get to him in a minute, but I still don't know. Actually, I take that back. I think I just realized something.
What did Mikey realize?
I think Chick is the Black Hood.
That's what I said!
No, I know, but I think like this episode puts forth some pretty compelling evidence that he is, in fact, that.
I think he's the Black Hood.
I do, too. So go to the Cooper's Tavern's. We go to Jughead and Kevin because Kevin has now gotten a second letter.
Yeah. And then Sandbad is connected to the letter and there's more threats.
Yeah. Like I'm going to kill one of you if you don't recast. And instead of bringing this to the police, Kevin's like, well, this is serious. We really should recast. And I'm like, Kevin, no. What? Like, don't do the musical. Like, it's like,
Let's just peruse the dictionary to the P section. Yes, here's a word. It's called priorities. we're going to look through what that means. It means you should stop doing the musical and save someone's life. Cool.
Yeah, maybe that. So that doesn't last long. Kevin is talking to Cheryl.
And then Penelope's here to ruin the day.
Yeah, and it was already all solved because you have to have a permission slip to be in a musical, which is new to me, but whatever. Her mom shows up and is like, you're not doing a musical about murdering your mom because she's terrible. And Cheryl's like, well, though, I mean, if the shoe fits.
Yeah. She I love the line she gives her mom where she says, so you just now feed on broken dreams, which is true. But yeah, so Cheryl is not going to be in the show because her mom sucks. Yes, sucks. That's the word.
Now an underlying thing here, and they've already talked about it, but it's all kind of background noise. But the facts are important. So Ethel is reintroduced in this episode as someone who has, like, from birth apparently wanted to be Carrie in Carrie the Musical, which, sure, follow your dreams if that's one of them, but...
Dream bigger.
Oddly specific, that one. But she was never given the chance to audition or not even given the time of day. And it is at this point, as we're recasting Cheryl, that Kevin reveals that Cheryl's understudy for the Carrie role was Midge. Mm-hmm. So Ethel is still screwed.
Yeah.
So just real quick, hey, Kev, not cool, buddy.
You're not doing so good this episode, Kev.
Like, Ethel literally is just a character that everyone dumps on all the time. And could we not? Could we not? Could
just,
we not?
Just a thought. I also wrote down a note that I kept thinking this entire time, this whole episode. At this point, they cut to a shot of this guy next to Kevin this entire episode. I don't know who this guy is. They keep cutting to him. He's called Fang later on at the end of the episode.
I thought Fang was somebody else. I think his name is Jerome. I believe it's what he said.
He says he's because he sees Fang in Midge's dressing room.
Oh.
And he calls him Fang. And I don't know who this guy is. And they keep cutting him. And he's like his assistant or something. I don't know. I just want to throw that out there. If anybody can please hashtag
Black
Crime Hood
number
Riverdale.
Two. Yeah. That's him.
Midge is the understudy. Tony goes to make Cheryl feel better and suggests that Tony needs to show her mother who is in charge.
Still shipping Cheryl, Tony. Don't yes. screw this up, show. So,
You know you got one job, show. You got one job.
They're not going to. Alice has a number with Midge.
Yes. And Alice gets a little real in this song.
Yeah.
And replaces Carrie's name with Betty's name. And then really actually screams at the end of the song that she doesn't want Betty to leave her like the rest of her children have.
I'm all for teaching kids to reach inside themselves to like find the, like as an actor, you got to find that thing that gets you there. But maybe don't. too far, Alice.
Yeah, amidst an auditorium of other students who are just like, should we be here? Alice is scared. Yeah, let's go. Alice is scared that Betty's going to leave her because her other children have left her. Valid.
Yep. It's still very much from the chick problems because chick won't return her calls.
And Polly's gone.
I don't want to say like, literally all of this is your fault, Alice. You kind of got to deal with it. Hey, I'm there for you. I'm on your team. Even she admits, like when she was calling Chick, she's like, what kind of mother am I? I gave him up at birth. And now as an adult, I am given the chance to like be with him again. And I threw him away again. So she's feeling... a lot of things.
Yeah, it's almost like once Chick showed up and finally got what he wanted with Alice, the murder stopped in the town. And then when he got thrown away, the murder started again.
Right.
It's almost like that.
We're on to you, Riverdale.
Kevin also had a really good line where after like Alice had a breakdown and he just says, am I directing a train wreck? And then he says, and where's my tea? I just thought it was a really cute moment. So Betty decides she has to do something to help Alice. So then we cut to...
documentary footage?
Back of the program and as an ad for Hermione. They're giving out the programs. Yeah. And Fred... Oh, because this is the night of the show now. And Fred shows up with sets and surprises dumb child Archie that Fred is not going to just abandon making the sets and delivering them just because his son has a Firebird that was bought by his rival.
I loved that burn. He's like, just because me and you aren't cool, do you think I wasn't going to fulfill my promises to all the other kids? And you're like, that one lands. Yeah. That one lands. Yeah.
Good dad. He's a good dad.
Be Fred.
we're turning into music. So at this point, Archie is second-guessing what he's doing to his dad, which is what he should be doing. Archie goes to talk to Hiram about getting between him and his dad, says don't, and he gives him back the Firebird.
Yeah, he very much is like, the dumbest thing you can do is try to get between me and my dad. Trust me, don't try. Like,
it's good.
There's hints of, like, anger and violent. Like, it's not just like, here's your car. It's like, do not do this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I get what you were doing. No.
Yeah, and it's like, Archie, yes, 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 my dude.
Then we have a weird scene at the Coopers.
Of course we do.
Dad Cooper, Hal, shows up with flowers.
FP, this is your fault.
This sucks. And this is a stupid scene. I didn't want to happen.
FP, damn it.
He even gets flowers she's allergic to.
He yeah, that sucks. That burn was amazing. He shows up with flowers and he's like, take me back, please. And she's like, really? Really? The one flower I'm deathly allergic to is the one you bring? Really? We've been married for 27 years. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, so they decide no more secrets, and they're going to get back together. She tells him about Chick's, fraternal information.
She doesn't reveal who the father is.
Not to us, the audience. Not that I'm saying she revealed it to Howard.
Did you say Howard?
Hal. I wrote Howard here for some reason. His name is Hal.
It's Howard's End.
Hal and Alice getting back together, boo. That's just the last line of that scene for me.
So Archie steps up to the plate and hits a grand slam my boy Archie is back in the saddle.
Oh, my God.
So Fred, like, when understanding this car, Fred is, of course, like, I just wanted to build a car junker with you. That's
like
what
he did with his dad.
Yeah. And then, of course, Archie went and got a jalopy from the junkyard. It's a total just... I mean, it's basically a frame with headlights.
The shot of Fred that they showed once he saw the car, Fred's look, it cleared my acne. It did my taxes for me. All of my clothes, the wrinkles were gone.
It's amazing.
I could breathe better. It was that look.
Show, bottle this. Find a way to bottle this emotion.
And then it goes from that to then Fred basically crying at the end. And I wept for all the things that needed to be wept for. I needed that scene.
It was
so bad.
Fred and Archie are Fred and Archie again, and I am here for it. But we cut to right before the show.
You ain't seen nothing yet, number.
Everyone is... Wait.
Everyone's singing. Everyone's in the backstage.
Did we kind of skip over the part where Cheryl covers herself in her brother's blood?
That comes soon.
Oh, okay.
That
sorry.
Comes in
sorry,
the song.
Sorry. I couldn't see the notes, and I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah. So
it's right
in
here.
This
right
scene, here. I'm living for Kevin in a tux. It's a very good look. And they are all doing their little backstage, you ain't seen nothing yet song, and there's some interesting vocals. And then we cut to Cheryl, who butts in the song with a bucket. They go back to the show for a little bit and then come back to Cheryl, who has gone full Carrie.
She's covered in blood, and she confronts her mom.
She says it's the blood of her brother and her dad.
That's impossible.
I hope it's metaphorical.
She was trying to scare her, so I'm guessing that was just a move. She doesn't reveal, because it's clearly pig's blood.
Yeah, like, she calls her mom
if
out.
If it's Carrie, you know.
Yeah. She calls her mom out for her sins. Her mom is freaked the fuck out, as one should
it
be.
Gets, I mean, Cheryl is like, hello, mother.
Yeah.
Like, it is there. It goes there.
She uses wording like, I'll end you.
Yeah. But the move, and I back this up 1,000%, she wants an emancipation from her mother.
Start packing, mommy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
but Grandma Rose gets to stay.
Yeah, I mean, she's playing Penelope's game to get what she needs to happen, right, which is to get away from her mom, who, yes, sent her to a conversion facility and tried to kill her grandmother. So yeah, trying to get away from your mom would be a good thing at that point.
I feel like you have pretty solid legal ground at that point.
We cut to the show where Hermione is shaking hands at the show. FP comes in looking like he's going to try to go to Alice. Alice does stuff with Hal, and FP sees it and leaves, and I hate this.
FP caused it. Like, I don't feel I don't feel for him. No. I feel for it could have been good. And why did you FP it? Like, yeah. Why did you show?
Why did you FP it? That is so correct. Yeah,
I mean, there's he has weaknesses, and apparently that's one of them.
Okay, so this is when we're zooming through dressing rooms. Fang, this guy, is in Midge's dressing room, and it looks like Midge is upset about something. There's some very mysterious things that are happening very quickly in this, and they didn't resolve it, and I'm hoping they resolve it in the next episode. So Fang is in Midge's room, and she's looking distressed. Well, they
resolve it for Midge.
Right, but I don't know why he was in there and why she was acting that way. Then we go to Ethel.
It's weird. It does like a series of weird things.
Yeah. So a few things happen. I got to call them all out. So Ethel's not in her dressing room, and Jughead finds some ransom-looking shit, but she says it's from her vision board. He finds, like, cut-up magazines, and she says it's not what he thinks. So I don't think it's Ethel. I think that was the catfish at that point. No, not catfish. I mean, red herring.
if only Jughead, who, and again, Jughead, some free notes. You have all the evidence because you has as of yet have not turned it into the police. You consider yourself an investigative reporter. So if I were you, possibly just take those things and then cross-reference it with the letters in the back. I mean, maybe that'll tell you.
So then after this, Jughead passes by Moose, and Moose is in a foul mood. He's extra angry. So
Midge just broke up with Moose, is my guess.
Yeah, Midge and Fang had something happen, and then Moose, something happened, and then so then that all happens and doesn't get resolved, and I'm curious what that is. Ronnie then has a little thing with Chuck and Archie and Betty in the room where they announce the end of Chuck's ousting and pariah status, which is good because I think he earned it. Then Chick shows up in a puff of smoke and snakes.
Hello.
that's how Chick should just talk. Hello, sister.
Hello. Hello. My favorite movie is Lady Hawk. Would you like to watch it with me 7 times?
I like to watch it with the sound off.
I only watch it for the murder.
So Betty's not happy to see him because Chick should make anybody feel uncomfortable as soon as he enters the room.
It makes the skin crawl for sure.
So then we cut to the last scene of the show, which is Alice singing to a cross and having her little solo scene as the mom. How the scene was supposed to go is that she knocks on a door and a wall goes up, and Midge as Carrie is supposed to be on her knees singing. What happens is the wall goes up and everyone goes, hey, did you guys reblock this? Midge is not on her knees and not singing. She is unfortunately pinned to the wall with multiple knives.
And clearly pretty dead.
Yeah, there's some like...
So Midge got murdered.
She's got it because Cheryl yells out,
you can't
somebody
unring
help
that
her.
Bell. You can't unring that bell.
I think Midge has got to be dead at this point.
I'm sad, but confused.
Yeah.
Because they, and by the way, the episode ends right after this.
Yeah, everyone's screaming, Alice losing her shit.
It's like a lot.
I got chills, and then it cut, and I was like, all right, good job, Riverdale.
You got, like, because the episode's, like, kind of chilling, and then some big stuff starts happening, like Archie goes after Hiram, and the wheels are turning, and I'm like, whoa, they're going to do something big right at the end. I mean, they need a finale, and they're like, sorry, Midge, you got murdered.
Yeah.
Because damn.
And written in blood on the walls, like, yeah. I'm back, and I'm going to kill everybody. Black Hood, XOXO, you know.
And then Kevin's like, oh, maybe I should have told the police.
Man.
Kevin! My man.
So why is Kevin your star Riverdale?
Definitely not. I'm actually glad because my star Riverdalian of the week for the first time since the ice punching is Archie.
Yeah.
Because Archie like did the good thing. Good boy Archie is good boy Archie.
Archie made Fred look the way he did in that scene. So therefore Archie gets the star because Archie did it.
Credit where it's due to this show, and we said very nice things to Britta last week too.
We didn't mean a single thing of them.
Not any of them.
No,
Britta, go to the hole. No, but what I love about this show is, like, constantly I am disappointed in kids that I thought were great last week, and I love kids that I was disappointed. Like, it actually, Riverdale feels like parenting.
I like the fact that this show just makes you, my friend Mikey, yell out, "I'm disappointed with kids." And
in general, children, come on, guys. No, it's like, I'm not usually upset with Kevin. I'm very upset with Kevin, who got his own girlfriend murdered, so I imagine she's much more upset.
That's not his girlfriend.
Wait, did they already break up?
Moose and Midge are boyfriend-girlfriend.
Oh, wait. Oh. Man, I have a weird...
Kevin's gay.
No, not Kevin. Sorry. Yeah, Moose. Didn't Moose get broken up with and run down the hallway? I might have said the wrong
thing. We think he did. We think he did.
Yeah, sorry, yeah. But that's what I'm implying. Yeah, yeah. Sorry, I meant Moose.
Yeah.
Moose and Midge. Yeah, I guess it's not Kevin's fault technically. Well, it is Kevin's fault.
It is his fault.
Moose's fault. Sorry, I'll just shut up forever now. Sorry. Bye. See you next week. Aren't you gonna get it?